At a million other choices, we discuss some dark and troubling topics. If dark and troubling is not your thing, mine might not be the right podcast for you. If you like your dark topics discussed without pesky ads and are looking for some additional content from me, you can sign up for the exclusive feed. The link should be in the show notes, and if not, you can find me on redcircle.com. I research each case myself, and I do my best to use a wide variety of sources, preferably directly from court documents when they're available, to ensure that the information is as accurate as possible. But I cannot verify the truth of all reporting that is publicly available. So this episode has been produced for information and entertainment purposes only and should be taken as such. And with all my legal and publicity stuff out of the way, let's listen to what words I will inadvertently mispronounce today.
Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
About an hour, maybe an hour and a half driving southeast of Cleveland, Ohio, is a smallish city of about 8,000 people called Campbell, Ohio, which is about 10 minutes outside of Youngstown, which has about 60,000 people in it, which is a place that will be important to the story in a little bit. Youngstown was, of course, considered the center of the iron and steel industry back in the day until the decline of iron deposits in the 1970s. Which is a fact much less important to today's story, but I mention it because, well, Wikipedia thinks it's important. Anyways, on July 29th, 2017, at 3:29 p.m., a rather distressed call came in from a resident of Campbell named Ken Ashenbong.
Hello, my name is emergency.
Hi, my name is Ken Ashenbong. I live in Campbell, Ohio.
Okay.
Me and my wife, we just found a dead body in our freezer.
Dead body?
A freezer. Yeah.
All right, it's okay, sir. Is it a male? Is it a female?
I think it's a female. I need a Campbell police there right away.
Now, you, like me, probably have some questions, like, how in the bloody hell can you have a freezer in your house with a dead body in it and not, at the very least, know that it was in there? I don't think I've ever heard of a case where somebody breaks into a house to put a body in a freezer while a family sleeps. And hopefully I didn't just give anybody ideas out there. And this woman's body wasn't just in the freezer. It was in pieces in the freezer. And her head was not one of the pieces that they found. Now, Ken and his wife, Jill, didn't know who this girl was. And we're going to get to that part of their story that it was believable. Campbell didn't have any reports of a missing person, so they called over to Youngstown police, who did have a report that had come in a few months ago of a missing woman. So they arrived on scene and saw that one of the leg pieces had a tattoo on it, and they were pretty sure that this was going to be their missing person, one 28-year-old Shannon Elizabeth Graves. Unfortunately, I don't know a lot about Shannon and her childhood, but from what I could track down, it was a little bit complicated. She had been born November 4th, 1988, to her mom, Christine Graves, and her dad, Ronnie DePaul. But Ronnie did not know that Shannon was his daughter until she was like a little bit older, I think about 5 or 6 that he found out. And at the time that he found out, Ronnie had a daughter of his own named Debbie DePaul, who was older than Shannon. Now, Shannon also had a little brother named AJ, but his last name was also DePaul. But Debbie had been raised as an only child. So as I said, it's very complicated. It's probably none of my business. Well, it's definitely none of my business, but I'm super nosy about being in people's business. However, by the time that Shannon was in like her late teens, she was starting to build a bond with her dad and her sister Debbie as well. And things were pretty good between sort of everybody. Christine Graves, her mom, passed away at some point. I'm not really sure when that was, but it sounds like she lived mostly with her mom and her little brother AJ, but would pop over to her dad and Debbie's place for like Sunday dinners, holidays, and birthdays. And Shannon had kind of started down a rough path. She had gotten into some drugs. She worked as an exotic dancer for a little bit, but Debbie had then introduced her to hairdressing. So she had gone to Raphael's School of Beauty and then graduated in 2016 or 2017 and got her cosmetology license. Now, she also had a pit bull named Molly that was her baby. Like, she cared for Molly like it was her child. So she had turned her life around. She was known by Star to her friends. She was extremely popular and really just really big-hearted. Well, a few Sundays started to go by without Shannon stopping by for dinner at her dad's, and then Debbie's birthday came and went, and she hadn't been heard from. And at first, Debbie, AJ, and Ronnie were all not that concerned. I mean, they were maybe disappointed that she kind of seemingly had gone off the rails again, but they weren't too concerned about her. So even though she had turned her life around, she still dated guys that dipped their toes in the criminal pool with like drugs and stuff. I think it gets really complicated when you have someone in your life that you love them very much. They're wonderful people, but they tend to live kind of a high-risk lifestyle, either with the people that they associate with or maybe some chemical compounds that they choose to consume. They can be a little bit transient, but it certainly doesn't make them any less lovable or worthy of being found. Like if you have a four-year-old that you haven't seen in a couple of hours, you're going to report them right away. But an adult child that tends to go MIA whenever she's got a new love interest, or she maybe has sometimes gets picked up for things like shoplifting or whatever, you can go a few months actually without thinking that something bad is up. And that, so that's what happened in the case of Shannon. It was late February when she had come by for a Sunday dinner, and then it was a couple of Sundays after that that had gone by without her stopping by. So Debbie called her boyfriend, a guy named Arturo Navallo. No one actually really knows his actual name. Like, he often went by Anthony as well. Now, he said that back in around late February, he had had an argument with her. And then she took off with some new guy to Cleveland. And the family kind of rolled their eyes at that a little bit, thinking, you know, that kind of does sound like something Shannon would do. So they left it. But then Easter went by, and they're thinking it's starting to get a little bit weird. I mean, the concerning part is not that she has run off somewhere, but that she hasn't even called her, and that she's not responding to any text messages or any phone calls. But then after a couple of months, AJ actually did get a response from one of his texts. And the person said, like, who is this? And he said, well, your brother. And whoever the person was on the other end said that they didn't have a brother. So that is when they decided that it was time to report her missing and try to get her tracked down. So on June 22nd, 2017, she was reported missing to the police. She had last been seen by the family in late February. Flyers went out, but very few tips came in for the petite 5 foot, 100-pound fun-loving brunette. Now, the text messages, or that text message reply, turned out to be a little less ominous than the family had originally feared, that maybe somebody was using her phone and holding her hostage or something. It turns out that after a few months of her phone not being used, they had transferred the number over to a new customer. But that is ominous that anyone under the age of 60 kind of would let their phone number go unused for months at a time, and that they don't contact their family members like at all. So the police were taking her disappearance pretty seriously, and they did feel that they had reason to fear for her safety a bit. So they, of course, start with interviewing this boyfriend, this Arturo Navallo. And he tells them the same story that he had told to the family, that she had taken off to Cleveland with this other guy. And so they were asking, well, why is her car still here? Like, you're using her car and her dog is with you. Like, why would she leave those things behind? And he said, well, I don't know. Like, she said she was going to come back for them, but she hasn't yet. But they're thinking, like, really? Her dog, like this dog that's her baby that went everywhere with her, like she's going to leave Molly behind. But they didn't know exactly when she had gone missing, so they couldn't exactly check on his alibi or anything. So they start to kind of poke around the periphery of this guy's life. And they want to know, like, who maybe would know her best, that, you know, somebody that she would maybe indulge personal information to. And Debbie thinks that that's probably her ex-boyfriend, a guy named John Scarada. Now, John had a little bit of run-ins in the past with the police for dealing drugs and stuff like that. So the police were acquainted with him, but when they brought him in for questioning, like, they found out that he was actually actively looking for Shannon because he was worried about her as well. So John and Shannon had split up the last time that he had gone to prison, and when he had gotten out, which was kind of just before the period that Shannon went missing, he had actually started his own investigation to kind of look for her, which he could do because, you know, there's a lot of neighborhoods where people, they don't want to talk to the police, but they're willing to, you know, talk to this concerned ex-con who's worried about his old girlfriend. So John had found out that there was this guy named Andrew Herman who had burned some of Shannon's things. And so when he found out about this, and Andrew said, yeah, like I burnt some of her things, he hightailed it down to the police station. This is Andrew I'm talking about, to let them know what he knew, because like he did not want to be connected to any kind of like foul play kind of thing.
You have some information about this. We're looking for this girl, Shannon Graves.
Yes, sir. It's been a big thing. I've seen it everywhere now.
It's everywhere. We can't find her. We don't know where she's at. We have the case now, and we're trying to figure out what's going on.
Okay.
Anything you can do about it.
All right. Basically, I know her ex, or whoever everybody's looking at right now, Mr. Arturo.
Okay.
Excuse me. I haven't known him very long, but it's been a couple years. Used to do music with him, that kind of stuff. He was living with me at one of my past residences, and Shannon Graves also moved in because John Shikarta, another one of her exes, asked her to stay there with one of his friends because he knew it would be safe there. I believe Scarada was dating her at that time. At that time when she moved into that house. After about a couple weeks, couple months, something like that, I'm kind of hazy on how long it really took.
Yeah.
I believe she left him, and when she moved out, she went with Arturo.
Okay.
And he moved out as well. Didn't really see him at all after that.
Some people call Arturo Anthony.
Yes, sir.
He has people believe his name is Anthony.
Yeah, he just doesn't tell people his real name. I don't know why. He just does.
Like people that are close to him, like friends.
Well, some of them. I mean, I was close to him for a brief period of time, and I learned his name. So,
okay.
I mean, I don't know how secret he really keeps it, but
yeah.
Everybody just calls him Anthony. I hung out with him briefly. I can't remember exactly what the date was, but it was late winter, early spring, somewhere around there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I asked him how everything was going, and he pretty much, he told me that she left him, she wasn't staying with him anymore. Basically, what he wanted me to do is he wanted me to help him get rid of the last of her crap that she left there.
Okay.
Old documents, couple clothes, stupid shit like that. I figured he was being spiteful, and I kind of helped him burn it. But now, over the months and everything's going on, she seems to be missing. Nobody seems to be able to know where she is. Everybody's telling different stories, and from what I hear from John, I've heard like 3 or 4 different stories from him, and I'm not liking the way it looks.
Yeah.
And that's why I came into...
John's been calling us around the clock.
And, yeah. Yeah, well, he gave a damn about her.
Yeah.
Like I said, I started feeling like after all this information started coming out, because I didn't even really ask questions about it when he asked me to just help me burn that crap.
Yeah.
But from what everybody's telling me, everybody thinks it's foul play. And if that's the case, I feel like I might have been used.
We don't know for sure, but we also can't find her, so it's kind of like...
Well, everybody in town's talking like that.
Yeah.
And it's starting to worry me. Because if that was the case, and if it is foul play, then what the hell did he have me do?
When's the last time you saw her?
Saw her?
Yeah.
Last time I saw her wasn't a personal interaction. It was I saw her driving down the road with him, with Arturo.
Okay.
I'd say that was sometime right after Christmas, I think.
Do you think it was late winter when he asked you to help him get rid of stuff?
Yeah. It was like end of February area.
And he burned it?
Yeah.
How did that go down?
It was just garbage bag, felt like papers and stuff. It really wasn't heavy. One that had like a pair of clothes or something. And pretty much just grabbed some sticks, went to my buddy's house, started a fire, and I said, there you go. Sure.
So of the things that were burned, papers and clothing?
Yes, sir.
Personal items?
I believe so. Like I said, I really didn't look in the bags. I didn't really ask him any questions. I figured he was just being spiteful. So, I mean, she said she left him.
Can you elaborate on that?
That's really all he really told me. She left him for some other dude, and that was it.
Best we could tell, the last people to actually lay eyes on her was around February 17th, right after Valentine's Day. There was a birthday party. One of John's friends, she was at. And after that, John doesn't hear from her no more, and nobody sees her again. So what we're thinking here is, if something happened to her, it's an if right now, it could happen between the last time anybody saw her and when you guys were burning the stuff. Because I would assume he wouldn't be burning the stuff if she was still alive. But he's also driving her car and living in her apartment.
Does he also have his own girlfriend at the time?
When he got together with her?
Yeah.
No.
Leading up to it? I mean, so, Katrina?
Trina Layton. Yeah, that's not what I would consider a girlfriend. I don't think he's ever used that term either. From what I remember them telling me about their story, she's pretty much been there for him like a wife, but they've never been a thing, at least in his eyes. And that was honestly one of the reasons why I couldn't stand being around them two together, is they would just be at each other's throats all the time, yelling and screaming at each other about stupid stuff.
Are you talking about Katrina? Yeah,
they would both, like, Katrina and Aunt Arturo would kind of just yell at each other over and over and over again about stupid shit. Like, she'd get overly paranoid and say, like, he's cheating on her or something with some chick off of Facebook, for example. She would start an argument over it, and, of course, the typical man response is like, what the f*** are you even talking about? It's a chick I just added on Facebook kind of, you know, mentality, and then it would boil over into, I wouldn't exactly say, like, screaming. It's just, like, aggravated yelling at each other.
Does Katrina have kids?
Yes.
Are they his?
No. No. But he has helped take care of them.
Yeah.
At a certain point.
They were on and off together for a couple of years.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Like I said, they never used the term relationship together or anything like that in my presence. In fact, they both kind of agreed that that's never been a thing. But pretty sure Trina really wanted it to be.
What's your feeling on this?
On the whole thing? Well, obviously I came down to give a statement. I'm worried myself. Like I said, if everybody at this point is thinking it's foul play, that's not good. that's not good for the situation at all. When everybody really started saying they thought it was foul play, I started thinking about that fire, and then John brought it up. I said, you know what? I've seen too many crime shows. This does not look good. And if this is what happened, he just made me an accessory, and I don't like that. I don't like feeling used. I feel like if that was what the case was, that he was trying to take me down with him. Like I said, I watch a lot of crime shows. I know, I understand the fact that the longer somebody's been missing, the less chances there are of actually finding them. I said that doesn't look good, because he said they pulled a bracelet out of the fire, like a pit or something.
He cared if there was a bracelet.
Who pulled a bracelet? He said the landlord of the property did. And I said, if that's the case, that's something she wouldn't leave behind.
Landlord of which property?
The Sherwood.
If stuff was getting burned, and we didn't know what the stuff was, and we found out it was a bracelet, then how do we know it's hers anyway?
He said it was in great shape.
Oh, well. But if he's burning her shit, what's the difference if it's a bracelet or...
Mom, like I said, if it's something that has her name engraved on it, that seems like something that would be rather important to her, in my opinion.
Personal.
Yes. Very personal.
As opposed to...
That, and they're saying that...
Her normal belongings.
That, and from what I hear, he still has a dog.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too.
And from when I lived with her, that dog was treated better than a freaking toddler. Like, that was her baby. Mm. I don't see why he has her dog. I don't see why she would leave it. And like I said, I've watched crime shows. And when he said that bracelet was pulled out, it was engraved with her name, that's a personal item, he was burning her stuff, I started thinking about it more and more. And I'm like, that just doesn't look good. I've seen this movie.
John went over to the house and he collected a laundry basket. It has a bunch of ashes and stuff in it. So our crime lab guys are sifting through a pile of ashes now to figure out what the heck was in there. The fire department was called that day. So it makes it, kind of gives us a nice marker what day it was. Otherwise, who would know what day you had a fire? I wouldn't. So you guys brought a bag over there?
Yeah, it felt like shoes, like heels. I didn't really look at it myself either.
Okay.
Just kind of brought it there because we were supposed to burn the fire.
So you guys made a trip over there with one bag.
Well, we needed to go get something to start the fire. I needed lighter fluid, so it was kind of wet.
But you had other stuff to burn too, right?
Yeah, but those were in trash bags.
At any point, did you come to know what was in the bag?
No, I did not. I believe that was just tossed in.
The whole bag?
Yeah. He didn't care about the bag.
The trash bags. Yeah. What was in them? Clothes?
I guess it was like papers, I think homeless clothes. It was real light shit. It really wasn't all that heavy.
How many bags? Were there trash bags?
Yeah, there was like two trash bags. Black ones.
Not a lot of stuff.
Not too much. Like I said, it was more paperwork just kind of tossed in the bag. And...
Is there anything that led you to believe that what he was doing was destroying evidence?
Not at the time, but after I started thinking about it, when the missing reports came up, that's why I came.
Do you have any personal knowledge that she's dead?
Yes, sir.
Anything that would lead you to believe that you mentioned anything, that something went wrong?
He didn't mention anything. He said she left him for some other dude.
Didn't say who, no details, no nothing. Everybody thinks he killed him, which is a logical jump, I guess, but
yeah.
Now they're freaked out because some killer was burning his dead girlfriend's shit in her yard, you know what I mean? So they're a little freaked out.
If that was the case, I really highly doubt that. He doesn't seem like the type to do that. I mean, then again, you don't even know people anymore.
Yeah.
But if I had to say, I don't think he would. He did spend time in prison, so I'm sure he's got that mentality where he's got to do what he's got to do. But I've never seen him have really any urge to be violent.
Did Katrina know anything about it?
That's hard to say, but... last I checked, she was probably the closest one to him.
Looking at things, here's a guy who calls you up to help him burn his shit at some people's house that he doesn't know. there's you and there's people. That's a lot of people to involve if you did something wrong. You know what I mean? Like,
I wasn't really thinking about it.
That's a whole lot of people that, I mean, if you killed somebody, would you call somebody to help you burn the clothes at somebody's house that you never met?
Right, you figure that's something you just do on your own.
Yeah. The only reason I can see that he would ask you to do that if he did that is if you knew, if you saw. Otherwise, if I killed you right now and he wasn't in the room, I would never tell him about it. If he was in the room, I'd be like, we gotta get rid of this. Make sense?
Right.
So, the only reason, if he actually did something to her, and we're not still an F, we don't know, we don't have a body, and we don't have her anywhere, alive or dead, would be as if you actually had personal knowledge. So,
like I said, that's all that really went down. I wish I could give you more.
No, I didn't. I understand. As time goes by, when she doesn't show up, if she doesn't, alive, or if she shows up dead, it's going to become a murder. And he's going to be a prime suspect. And the facts of the case would be, this girl was last seen in February. You were burning her shit in March, and you were helping burn the shit. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you know something, but it looks like you know something. If you have any other knowledge, this is a good time. If it's even rumor, if it's something he just said in passing, if you happen to be there when he lost his shit and killed her, and it was like, holy f***, you just do that, this would be the time.
No, I feel like he was playing me like a pawn.
Well, here's the problem. You see the problem I'm getting at?
Yeah.
She don't show up. The longer this goes on, the worse it looks. She does show up, but she ain't breathing. I mean, you know, we start close to home. That's usually who kills you. Somebody knows you. So she shows up dead. I mean, you and him, I don't know how close you are, but...
Not very.
But yeah, if you kill somebody in front of somebody else, your relationship becomes real complicated real fast. In not good ways. So...
Yeah.
I don't think he'd come and kill you. Then again, maybe he would. Kind of a loose end, but when we're talking about loose ends, we got loose end number one, loose end number two. This is a sloppy kind of deal. When you kill somebody in a fit of rage, you kind of don't have a plan.
Well, it's a crime of passion.
And you f*** things up.
Yeah, that would be a crime of passion.
You get emotional.
So, boyfriend, girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, the John factor, all this stuff going on, this guy f*** up and does something stupid. It kind of makes sense. Do you have other knowledge about this crime?
No, sir. Or I'm just worried
that
about
there even was a crime? Because right now?
At this point, I'm just worried like he used me. Like I said, that's what I'm scared of. I feel like, because everybody else is saying that. They think it's foul play. And like you said, even a rumor can screw somebody over.
Yeah, I understand how rumors can destroy somebody's life real quick.
There's another way your life gets destroyed real quick is you watch a guy kill somebody and you're a loose end. That ruins your life real quick, too.
Well, I didn't watch anybody kill anybody.
Okay. Another way you ruin your life real quick is you know about it and he knows. That ruins your life real quick, too. If you know something about this, we need to know. Number one, we got a girl we can't find. And, have no idea what to look for.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And he has the opportunity to kill you. Yeah. I would. I haven't met one person yet who told me that they had any idea why you would do anything to this girl.
No, I didn't.
Well, I wouldn't think you did. Wouldn't accuse you of that.
Well, you know, it's kind of raised with a decent respect.
Okay.
I am.
Well, you're raised with something that isn't common anymore.
So you know the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't think you did anything to her. That's not why you're here. You're here because it looks like you helped them dispose of what might have been evidence. And for anybody to do that, to allow somebody to see that, I would think they'd have to be so deep with that person that it didn't matter. Otherwise, why do that? I wouldn't burn my wife's shit if I killed her with you. Yeah. And I sure as hell wouldn't do it with some friends of yours. So,
yeah.
If you're holding in something about this, please let me know so I can find this baby, this girl, and get her family some peace. I get this guy out of the way, because it sounds to me like this guy did something bad.
I'm not gonna lie, you've made me rather paranoid today.
I'm not trying to make you paranoid, I'm trying to make you unparanoid. Did this guy tell you something about what happened?
No, he did not.
You know something about what happened?
No.
By some other means?
No.
I'm telling you that what you explained to us happening is understandable, and we're not even remotely thinking of charging you with destroying evidence. Number one, we don't know that it is evidence. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know nothing else.
Yes, sir.
Well, then, of course, this body showed up in Jill and Ken's freezer, and it was really looking like it was going to be the body of Shannon Graves. Now, Ken and Jill's, their story had matched up to each other's, and it actually kind of made sense why they would have a freezer in their house that had a dead body in it. Well, the dead body part didn't really make sense, but the fact that there was a body in it and that they didn't know about it.
So the reason we're here today is because you found something in your basement today. But there's a story that leads up to this. So, and you start from the beginning. I know we've talked to you, but we're slowed down and we're...
My head's kind of calmed down too.
Yeah, well, I mean, this doesn't happen every day. So now we're calmed down. Things are under control. So what happened?
Today?
Well, start from the beginning of this story.
Why don't you start with how you met Anthony?
Okay, I met Anthony. I went over to my neighbor's house. And I was playing some music that I made, and then that's the Anthony was there. He liked the music, he said he was a rapper, you know, everybody's a rapper.
Right.
But he really liked my music, you know, because we worked something out, right?
Right.
I said, okay, and I didn't think much of it, because I always heard that from people. Then like 2 days later, he actually knocks on my door, you know. He had long hair at the time, long hair and ponytail.
Right.
How long ago was this?
This had to be... I'm guessing, I'm right about on time, though, sorry. I'd say between 4 and 4.5 years ago.
Okay.
And he said, hey, man, dang, I was going to hit you up on that music, I'll listen up. So, he seemed like we got along, and he started hanging around, and, you know, we started playing Xbox together, you know, just typical friendship stuff, you know. And then me and my wife would help him out, you know. I said, you know, they had 2 kids down there, they always had gas off, or electric off, or water off, or something. We just help him out, you know, I mean, just, that's how we started, that's how we became friends. He was always with this Trina girl, on and off, right? Like, she'd get her income tax return, he'd be with her. And then end up with a run out, and then he'd be off with some other girl. And then income tax would come. He does like 3 years in a row. He goes back with her, because she gets like $6,000-$7,000 or something.
Did you know this girl named Star?
I knew her from when Anthony brought her to the house.
And when was that?
First time I brought her was last summer.
Yeah, it was like his girlfriend at the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did he get along?
When the first couple of times they came over, yeah, they got along. But then a couple of, after that, it was a lot of fighting and stuff. I even asked him, with the same problem as his other girlfriend, Trina, I asked him not to bring her around no more. You know, I asked him not to bring Star around no more because they fight set outside the house, you know, yelling back and forth at each other, happening this and that. Come on, my language right there, you know.
Yeah.
I just asked him not to bring her around anymore.
Star.
Yeah.
Did you ask her not to bring Katrina around too?
Yeah.
So you had the same problem?
Yeah, because they're always fighting this way.
So whenever he's with either one of them, he's fighting one of them?
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't start out that way?
No.
Okay. When's the last time you saw Star?
Oh boy, let's see. It's been a while. It was the end of last summer. I guess it was around the end of last summer. Actually, it was starting to get cold because the pool water was getting too cold to swim. In fact, they came and they went to swim and it was too cold to swim. So it got to be like the very end of the summer. I remember we got some mics, hard lemonade, you know, sat outside underneath the umbrella and thing. We drank a couple beers and then he had a little bit of weed. We smoked some weed. And he went home. And that's the last time I saw her.
Do you know her real name?
No, I just heard you say it though, but I didn't know her name.
If we showed you a picture of her, could you identify her?
Yeah.
So Monday, July 17th, he brings his freezer over. You tell him where to put it?
Yeah. I told him, I said, as soon as you walk in the basement door, there's a little thing, just put it in there, you know. I said, there's a plug right there you can plug it into.
Did you notice at the time there was a padlock on it?
I didn't even look at the freezer. When he brought it out of the thing, he was on top, he got the top, Mike got the bottom of it, and Nancy got the top, you know, of it, and they carried it. And I didn't even like, I didn't look at it or anything. And then he come down, he said, hey, your outlet doesn't work. And I said, oh, we got struck by lightning last week, like right at the pole, and some of our outlets got burned out.
So he brings his freezer over, puts it in the basement, and your power doesn't work.
That outlet by down close to the thing doesn't work, right?
So he had to get an extension cord.
Right. Fit one, get that big orange one that's in my basement now. It's his.
So they call you about 3, they don't get there till 11. Mm. When they come, they put it in the basement, your power doesn't work, so he has to leave, go get an extension cord, and come back. Yep. Then he plugs it in. Yep. Now, when do you first notice there's a padlock on this thing?
The next day, my wife, went, she washed clothes, she yep. came up, she goes, there's a padlock on there, Chris. I'm like, a padlock? I said, why would you put it? I said, what, he don't trust us? That's why I said, why he don't trust us? We're going to use his meat. That's what I said, we're going to use his meat. And then, me and my wife started discussing, what are we talking about, Star? What stars in there? I mean, just like kind of joking, but kind of not joking.
At that point, you knew she was missing?
I just had found out maybe, I get goosebumps, I'm sorry. I found out like a week and a half. It's when he was at my house and this Trina was calling him. And he was like, stop, don't freak out. And then he hung up and she called back again. He's like, just go in the house.
When was that?
That was the night I fixed his computer. So the 17th, I brought the freezer. I think it was 2 or 3 days later is when I wiped out his computer. And that's the night Trina called him. And so, I asked him, I said, what's going on? Why are you freaking out?
So on Monday night, he brings the freezer. Mm-hmm. On Tuesday, you find the padlock. Mm-hmm. And you already know Star's missing.
Yeah.
And you jokingly say, I wonder if Star's in there.
Right.
Arturo, Anthony. You know him as Anthony. Do you know him as Arturo?
No.
You don't know that that's his real name?
I mean, I know that it is his real name, but I'm not sure I'm missing him. Yeah, that's the last.
Pitch.
Oh, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Anthony.
Start.
Yeah. Katrina and Anthony, pretty tight. Do you think she knows about this?
I personally, you mean like my personal offender? Absolutely. They never have any money. He just got the job out of the back. That freezer looked brand new to me. We were talking about what to have for dinner, you know. I said, well, I can make some spaghetti sauce or whatever. And I was over there for maybe a half hour or so, 40 minutes. Came back, sat on the couch smoking a cigarette. My wife sitting next to me. She's just sitting there, and I just look on her face. You know, I've been together 30 years. And I said, what's the matter? She said, I opened that freezer up downstairs. And I said, and? She said, there's a 5-gallon bucket and a big black garbage bag. I said, did you look in it? She said, no. And she was like, thank you. I said, you want me to go down? She said, want me to go down and see? She said, yeah.
She went down and unscrewed the hasp. Why?
Because she said, because she wanted to see if there was any hamburger in there, she didn't make spaghetti sauce. I think it was gnawing
it
at
just
her,
got to her,
and she wanted to see. But
it's your house.
Right.
You got a freezer in your basement.
Right.
And a padlock on it.
You're paying for this guy
right.
to run a freezer at your house.
Well, that's another thing. He said, I'll give you $100 a week to keep it.
$100?
I said, Anthony, $100. I said, your rent's $450 a month. I said, just... Spare me like $20 a month or, you know, whatever for the electric bill or whatever.
He offered $100 a week.
I said, I'll give you $100 a week.
Well, a light had to go off when he said that.
It did. I'm like, well, first I thought maybe he just misspoke or maybe, you know, I mean, he said, I'll give you $100 a week or whatever, whatever. That's how he followed up, or whatever, whatever. I said, Anthony, because I thought we were friends.
So he brought a locked freezer to your house and offered to give you $100 a week.
Yeah, well, I didn't know it was locked.
Yeah.
My wife told me. I just figured, well, you don't want us to eat the meat. I went down, and I did it, and I opened it. As soon as I opened it, my stomach just flipped. Then I just like, what the? Just what? That's how you store your meat? So I took picked up the bag, and it was pretty heavy, the big one. And I picked up the 5-gallon bucket, and I set it down, and I opened it, and there's a backpack. I'm like, take the backpack out, open up, there's a green garbage bag. Open up the green garbage bag, another green garbage bag. But it's frozen all, you know, frozen together.
It's on a block.
Right. So got these scissors and it smells really bad. I'm like, why would it? That's when I knew. I was like, why would you? You wouldn't put rotten meat in a freezer and freeze it. It didn't rot in the freezer because it would be frozen. And so my wife's looked in and it just looked so weird to me. I've seen lots of rotten meat and thing working in restaurants and thing. And my wife said, nah, she said, just put it back in the thing. I said, no, Joe, I'm looking. I said, I've never seen nothing like this. I've never, no kind of meat or nothing like this. had the other bag sitting on the floor. I couldn't get the knot out. It was like frozen. I just couldn't do it, you know, and then the strength to get it out. She said, you want me to get you some scissors? I said, yeah. She brought me down a pair of scissors.
Well, yeah, you got to get in there
right
now.
I said, I got to see what's in here, you know. And then I, dang, and then I'm like, it's not covered. The meat's not covered. And then I recognized the foot and the thing, and I just, like, my wife grabbed her head, and I grabbed mine.
You knew it was a body.
And I said, I turned around, I said, call the police. But she didn't. She was freaked out, so I just took the phone, and I didn't call nobody, nothing. I called the Campbell police. I only saw her girl 4 or 5 times, but she talked about her. She only talked about 2 things, her dad and her dog. How close she was to her dad, and how much she loved her dog. And then he's driving her car, and he has her dog. You know, and that's why I started actually thinking maybe he did something.
Because you handle things at the scene, we want to take a DNA swab for you. It consists of 2 cotton swabs in your mouth. For elimination purposes, or obviously we're going to be looking at the freezer and the body and the tools and all that. And when we start sending stuff in, they're going to want DNA from you and from your wife. And that's, you know.
You got me.
You all right?
Yep. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like outer space. I'm like in outer space or something.
Joe Eschenbaugh?
Mm-hmm.
Joe, the reason we asked you to come down here is because you called the Campbell police to your house today for some human remains you found. And we believe it might be related to a missing that we have here in Youngstown. We've been looking for a girl for a little while. Can you tell me what happened today?
My husband went over to his wife's house,
mm-hmm.
and I was thinking about what to make for dinner, and I didn't have any hamburger in our freezer, so I thought maybe there might be some in there, so I went down, and I knew that the padlock was on that freezer, and so I took a little screwdriver down with me, and I just unscrewed it, and when I opened it up, I saw the black trash bag, and a 5-gallon bucket with the orange lid, and I saw that, and my stomach flipped, and I just shut it, and I put the screws and stuff back in, and my husband came home like maybe 10 minutes later, and he saw what was wrong, so he sat down on the couch, and he said, what's wrong, and I told him what I saw, and he said, well, he goes, you stay up here, and I'm going to go down and take, you know, see what it is. So he went down and he took the screws and stuff out of it again, and he opened it up, I guess. And he was down there just for a couple minutes, and I stuck my head down and I went down the steps, and I just sat down on the steps, and he was taking that bag, that black bag, out of the backpack. There's a red backpack. He tried to open up that, and I think I wanted to get scissors because it was tied real tight, and I gave him a thing of scissors, and he cut that open, and then there was another bag of that inside of that bag, and he cut that one open, and when he tried to open it up, it smelled horrible. I just thought it was spoiled meat at first. I was hoping that it was just spoiled meat, and I said, it just stinks too bad. I said, just put it back. So just wrap it up and put it back in the backpack. And he went to go open the other one, and it was the same thing. It was tied, and then he cut that one, and he opened, there was another bag inside of that. And when he cut that open, that's when he saw the foot in the backpack.
Okay.
And he said, it's a foot. And I said, no, it can't be. And I even went over to where he was at, and I was like, oh my God, it is. And then we both went upstairs, and he went out I went upstairs to check on my son, and he went out and called the police, and then they came after that.
Legally, there's nothing wrong with you looking in the freezer. So, it's not a big deal if you were like, man, I need to know what's in this freezer, and you open up this freezer, but, you know, I mean, is that what happened? I mean,
I really was just looking for stuff for dinner tonight. I really was.
What I'm trying to tell you is there's nothing wrong with you saying, hey, this is weird, I need to look at it.
Right. I mean, at the time when I saw the padlock, did I think that was weird? Yeah, I even told my husband that. I said, why would you put a patch on?
Well,
Cindy
just kind of joked around and said, well, maybe Shannon's in.
Yeah. Okay. But I didn't really think that that was that, no. I wouldn't even.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your kid around, but.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's weird.
Right. I just would never.
Arturo Novoa, who's actually, I think his actual legal name is Anthony Gonzalez, he became the focus of the police investigation. And because he had been identified by both Jill and Ken as the person who had brought the freezer, he was living in the apartment that Shannon's name was on the lease of, it wasn't really too hard to get a search warrant for it. And the search warrant did find there was some blood samples that were taken. There was a cleaver that had been stuck in the wall near the front door. And then there was the manual for the model of the freezer that Shannon had been found in. But Arturo, or Anthony, had shared this apartment now with his new or former girlfriend. She was kind of off and on, Katrina Layton. Now, Katrina had been, like, in her mind, she had been Arturo's girlfriend. Now, he considered her a little bit more like maybe like friends with benefits or something. But when they had sort of broken up or whatever they were doing on and off, like, and then Shannon had disappeared, Katrina had then moved in with Arturo. So that kind of made it impossible to know if it had been Arturo or Katrina had been the one that had killed Shannon. But they knew that one of them had done it, and the other probably knew about it and helped get rid of her by dismembering her and then putting her in this freezer.
You must be serious enough to pull me out of work.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that if I didn't have to.
I missed out on 4 hours of work today.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read you your rights. I'm going to tell you what changed. I'm going to have questions for you. You may want to answer them. You may not. You may have questions for me. I don't know. You're definitely under arrest. I wouldn't have sent them out there if there wasn't a warrant for your arrest. Let me start out by reading you back.
I don't have to answer anything now, even though I'm signing this, right?
But no,
this is just allowing me to question.
Yes.
Okay.
You don't have to answer anything you don't want to. Okay. The other day I asked you about the rumors about you burning things up?
Yes.
Okay. You told me you did.
Correct.
Okay. Is that still true?
Correct.
You did not burn things up?
I did not.
Okay. Did you, at any point, take a freezer to a house in Camel?
I did not.
You did not?
I did not.
Okay. So you didn't go to Kenny Eschenbaugh's house on Devitt with a freezer, with a padlock on it, and put it in his basement?
I did not.
You did.
And leave and go get an extension cord and plug it back
in? You didn't do that?
Do not.
Okay. So, up until now, has anything we talked about not been true?
Everything.
The last time you saw Shannon was when?
I don't even know. Like the end of February.
Okay. You have no idea what became of her? Where she ended up?
I do not. I have said this to everybody.
Okay. When I told you the other day at your house that some people who were acquaintances of yours said that you burned things up.
Okay.
Now,
I don't understand how, like, acquaintance of who exactly means. Because I don't know anybody that she personally knows. Which was
talking about your people who know you, not her.
Oh.
Okay. People who know you said this, that you burned things up. Now I have people that know you saying you brought a freezer to her house. When they opened it up, guess what they found?
What did they find, sir?
Why do you think you're here? The charge is abuse of a corpse.
Excuse me?
Abuse of a corpse.
Are you being serious right now?
I'm not fooling with you, man.
You're 100% serious.
I would not make
right
this
now.
Up. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't believe it.
Well, I wouldn't be sitting here with you at, 10 o'clock at night, none, if I wasn't talking about a body in a freezer that you brought to a guy's house. Not making it up, man. I'm trying to figure out how all these people that are not her friends, they're people that you know, are saying this.
Alrighty then. Wow. Alrighty then. Something's wrong here. This is f***ed up.
It's kind of,
need to make a phone call.
It's kind of too many people.
The thing is, I don't do anything but work and sleep. So when somebody tells me that they're even remotely talking about me or saying anything about me at all, it kind of baffles me.
Okay.
Because all I do is work and sleep, work and sleep, work and sleep.
Okay. And all these people who know you.
Well, we're going to have to, I'm definitely going to have to make a phone call.
Okay.
Because this is some f***ed up shit that you're telling me.
Yeah.
And I half really don't really believe you, but I have no choice but to believe you because I'm sitting here.
No, we don't do this for
We wouldn't make it up.
We sure as shit wouldn't arrest you for this not having happened.
Right.
You know what I mean? Obviously.
So I basically got all these fingers just being pointed at me.
And we're really kind of hoping that it's Shannon.
This is
because if it's not, then this guy says you brought a body to his house and it's somebody else and Shannon's still missing, then what are you, some kind of serial killer? So we're hoping it's Shannon.
Oh, definitely not, man. This is going to take so long. I'm going to lose my job.
You're going to lose your job? Did you hear what I said? This ain't about your Outback dishwasher job anymore. There's a body in a freezer. And the guy said he brought it to his house.
Yeah.
Now, whether it's her or not, you understand whether it's her or not, doesn't matter. Your dishwasher job at the Outback is okay? That's a weird thing for you to say. Like, my job's
I'm trying to tell you, like, if I'm trying to tell you I don't know what the telling me, then obviously, I mean, excuse my language, but
okay.
If you're trying to tell me all these fingers are pointed at me, and
I'm telling you,
supposedly went to this house and supposedly put this thing in this guy's house, this is insanity to me. It really is. So I'm trying to figure out where something might have, like, might have went wrong.
I'm telling you that four people who know you said you burned her shit up, and now two people who know you said you brought a freezer with a body in it to their house, and you're talking to me about your dishwasher job. I'm like, what the f*** is wrong with you? Because that is not the normal reaction.
But I just got done telling you I don't talk to a lot of people.
Okay.
Like, at all.
Four
like,
people.
I can count the amount of people that I talk to in
Anthony,
my hand.
Four people saw you burning her shit, and two people said you dropped a freezer off at their house with a body in it. Did you hear what I said?
I'm hearing what
you're
telling me.
All right. So I don't care who you talk to and what you do with your personal life.
Why would I do something like that is my
point. I have no idea why you would do something like that. None. I've got a few ideas. I even got a few ideas that you didn't do something like that. But you know who did. But that's something I would like to hear from you. So I've tried to learn everything I can about what's going on in your life to the best I can do without being in your life. Because you are a private person.
And what have you learned from my life, sir?
There's a couple people in your life. You're getting pushed and pulled in a couple different directions. You've got a job. You had a few scrapes with us. Nothing serious. I've learned that inside your apartment there was some blood, which don't really look too good right now when this girl's missing. I would like to know...
The only blood that I can possibly think that you might have found in
there's
my apartment
a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons why there might be blood in your apartment. But when you add that onto the fact that these people saw you burning some shit and when we went through the shit, figured out it was hers because her bracelet was in there. And when you add in that these other people who know you have a freezer in their basement that they say you brought over there, it kind of, we're past the point of no return on this thing. Like, you didn't bring no freezer with a body in it and you don't know what's going on.
Right.
That don't happen. So there's a big part of your life that I'm not a part of. And that would be the part where you got a freezer with a body. I wasn't with you. So,
like, how do I end up in this position?
It would be very interesting to me to find out how you came upon a freezer with a body in it. That would be very interesting to me right now. It would also be very interesting to me if that's Shannon in there. It's a bad thing to say, but I'm hoping it is, because if it ain't, then I gotta wonder what the f*** I got here. If you got a freezer with a body in it and it ain't hers, what the f***? See what I'm saying? So I got a lot of questions, and none of them are good. You have an apartment that was your missing girlfriend's apartment that you're still living in.
It used to be ours, but yes.
Yeah. You also have a new house that you guys are paying rent on and you don't live in. And according to Katrina, the only thing that you guys owned in that place was this freezer. You have a half a house that you're paying for that you don't live in, that you don't keep nothing in there but a freezer that just happens to have your dead ex-girlfriend in it. So it kind of looks bad.
I don't have anything in that house. We literally have no furniture, nothing. No. We literally had nothing in that apartment.
So you never moved anything in that apartment?
We never moved nothing in that
apartment. Okay.
Like, we had nothing in there. All we did was just pay the rent. All we did was just simply get an apartment ahead of time so we had a place to lay our head. You know? Okay. My lease is up in September. Like, I got to make sure I got a place to stay. I mean, yeah, I got my apartment on the east side, but that thing is just, it's basically tore down already. Like, I have no bathroom there. I can't really have company there. I do music. I can't really be loud there. I mean, I can barely walk without my mother screaming at me. So, I mean, I don't really have any leg room over there.
We're like way off the beaten path of what we're really talking about here. There's a freezer with a body in it, in Camel, that a guy that you do music with says you brought there.
It's impossible, because I didn't do no such thing.
Okay. Shannon has a direction card. She did. And Shannon's direction card got used in a bunch of places after she went missing, at the same time that yours did. Did you?
I don't understand how, if I don't even know exactly when she's even come up missing, to even know that she's missing in the first place.
Well, we do. Okay.
So how any of this would make sense to me in the first place.
Okay. Well, let's make sense of that. Do you use Shannon's direction card regularly?
No. I used to. She was around.
Until when?
Until the last time she was around.
Which was when?
I just told you. I don't have a direct view. You want me to give you an exact date? I feel like you guys are trying to catch me up.
Give us a month.
Give me a month.
Some crap.
Give me
a month.
February?
Okay. So, in March and April, when you were using her direction card, did you happen to be with her? And just, you're not telling us you were with her? Were you helping her hide out?
So you want to ask me about somebody else's direction card when you know that is illegal to share, trade, or sell food stamps in the first place. And you want to sit here and ask me about somebody's direction card?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Wow. Absolutely.
As if what you're telling me isn't bad enough.
As if after I tell you
about
a body in a freezer, direction card fraud is baby shit, yeah. Absolutely.
Can I make a phone call? Because I'm going to need to obviously get a hold of a lawyer.
Oh, would you like to talk to a lawyer?
I would like to call my lawyer, yes.
Okay. Between February and July.
I don't know. I didn't.
Right now, she's in your freezer.
Well, that I didn't know.
Oh, okay. You know, I told you about 10 times that the missing girl is dead in your freezer. I'm looking for some kind of reaction. But
I
look shocked at all.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. I'm just trying to process everything.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you something. Forget all this. Did you kill her?
Hell no.
Were you there when she was killed?
No. Okay. What?
Well, sure looks like you did.
No, what do you mean it looks like I did?
She's in your freezer. The one you paid for. So it kind of looks like you killed her.
I can't sit in this room with the door shut. I'm getting claustrophobic.
You can't use the small rooms.
I didn't do anything to this girl.
You can't use the small rooms.
How are you going to accuse me of this? What the?
Man, I wanted a new freezer for the house because we needed it for the fridge and the freezer.
Katrina, he's going to say he doesn't know nothing about no freezer and you're making that up.
Well, then how did her body get in a freezer over to Kenny's?
Exactly.
I don't know that. I mean, it gave him the money. I thought he was buying one. I don't know.
Listen, if you gave him money to buy a freezer, then there's a freezer.
It was supposed to be at the new house. That's all I know. I know I didn't kill her. I have kids. I have a job. I know I didn't kill her.
All he's got to do is trade you for him. That's it. You see where this is going? You understand we're at the end of this road?
So what am I supposed to do?
Just tell the truth. I don't care what you said before. Just tell the truth. Tell us what you know about everything. Stop doing this and just tell the truth. It's not going to get better.
No, I know that.
Okay.
I just know I gave him the money to buy the freezer. I thought.
Trina, tell me everything you know about everything. It's the only way to fix this.
I just know what he told me. I don't know what he did.
Tell me what he told you.
When I moved in, he told me that she was gone, that she left this guy in his car, and that. I'm sorry. And she left with some guy. And she took all her stuff. And then she said she was going to be back for the dog. And then she never came back for the dog. And he said that they had an agreement about the car. That he was going to drive the car until she came back for it. And then she didn't go back for the car either.
You understand this looks like you did it and he helped you.
I know.
That's what it looks like. And me sitting here trying to be impartial, I can't assume he killed her. I can't. He was getting what he wanted from her. The only person with motive here was you, hon. Understand? See what I'm saying?
I get it, but I mean, why would I even do like that? Because I have my kids, I have my job.
Your boyfriend. You understand how many people are in jail for that? It's not complicated. It's real simple. She took what was yours.
Yeah, that doesn't make me a killer. No, you're right. I was in a difficult situation.
Of course not.
I didn't like her, but I didn't
kill her. I understand that. You gotta understand what it looked like. She screwed your boyfriend, then she disappeared, and then you got all her shit. And she's in your freezer that he says he don't know nothing about. Just tell me what happened. It's got to be better than what it looks. It can't be as bad as it looks.
I mean, I didn't...
It cannot be as bad as it looks, can it?
I don't know anymore.
Katrina, did you kill her?
No.
Okay. Did you take her apart?
No.
Did you put her in that freezer?
No.
Did you put her in Kenny's house?
No, I didn't even go to Kenny's.
Okay. So tell me what did happen. Because nothing you're saying is making no sense, huh? You can't leave it like this. It doesn't make any sense. Nobody's going to look at what you say and think it's reasonable. Nobody.
Swearing on my kids, I didn't kill her.
You understand, you are swearing this on your kids because when you go, you understand what's going to happen to you?
I didn't kill her.
You're going to go over there and you're not going to come back for a long time.
I didn't kill her.
This is it. You're leaving. You're going for a ride. This is it right now. This is your moment. What you do in the next 30 seconds is going to depend on what happens the rest of your life. Probably your kids.
I understand.
Okay.
I'm trying not to panic because...
I don't want you to panic. No reasonable alternative. Right?
What do you mean?
You don't have any reasonable explanation for why this woman's in your freezer.
I mean, obviously somebody put her there.
Okay.
Obviously.
Thanks.
But if Anthony did it, then he needs to fess up to it.
Not if he didn't do it. Not if you did it. If he's helping you, then he doesn't need to fess up to it. And he has his rights too, you understand?
I understand.
Okay. This. He didn't buy a freezer. You did. He didn't buy an apartment. You did. He was getting what he wanted from her and you. Why would he kill her?
I was just under the assumption that we were getting back on our feet.
You're not getting back on your feet.
Because I was...
It's not going to be okay.
I was trying to pay stuff.
He's going to jail and so are you. You're not going to get back on your feet. That's not going to happen now. That's done.
But I'm telling you, I didn't kill her. Why are you asking me if I take her apart? Why are you even asking me that?
Because she's not one piece.
What do you mean she's not one piece? You just said there's a girl in the freezer.
Yeah, well, you know what? She's in the freezer, but she isn't all one nice big piece anymore.
Oh, my God.
So you see what I'm saying? The only reason that we even think you bought it in July is because you said so. But I know you didn't buy it when you moved in because there was a dead girl on the floor and you didn't want your kids falling over. You see what I'm saying?
I get it.
I knocked on the door on July 17th. And on July 17th, that body moved all the way to Camel.
I didn't even know you...
One of the days when I was knocking on the door, everybody was playing hide and seek with me, was the day that the body got
moved. I'm being honest with you guys. So the only reason I don't open that door is because what was going on with Tim and Tanya.
Okay, but how do I know it's not because that freezer was on the other side of the door with a girl in it and you were like... Because that's how I would have been. You see what I'm saying?
No.
I'm knocking on the door and there's a dead girl in there. You gotta be like...
I get where you guys are coming from. I mean... I keep to myself. I work all the time. I take care of my kids.
Listen, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take care of your kids and go to work. I don't care. You bought a freezer. He said, what freezer? You didn't say, what freezer? You said, yeah, I bought a freezer. Got mine in the house.
Yeah, he said, I didn't have anything to hide.
Except a dead girl who used to be banging your boyfriend, and now you got all her shit. You do have something to hide. You are the picture of someone who has something to hide. You see what I'm saying? That's the point I'm trying to make.
I'm so confused.
What are you confused about? You bought a bunch of shit for a place... You bought a bunch of shit that you never used for a place that you've never been to. For a man who's been around on you, whose girlfriend is missing, and now she's in your freezer. What are you confused about? There's no confusion there for me. What I'm confused about is, if you're not saying, God damn it, all right, this is what happened, and you know what? I hung tight for him, but I'm not going to prison and being away from my kid for the rest of my life. If you're not saying that, then I gotta be thinking, you killed her.
I'm telling you, I don't know how she got there. I didn't kill her.
This is gonna be really bad. You're gonna go over to the jail, and by tomorrow, your booking picture's gonna be all in the newspaper.
Yeah, I realize this.
You're gonna be on TV.
I realize this. For something I didn't f***ing do.
Well,
you're telling me that there's this parts of a body that are fitting in a freezer. I can't even wrap my head around it. I can't. Who does stuff like that?
Either you or him.
Well, it wasn't me.
Both.
It wasn't me. That freezer did not get over there by me.
I know. Doesn't matter.
I did not put it there.
Totally agree with you. Never said you did.
I did not put her in it.
Didn't say you took it over there. Don't know if you put her in it.
I definitely didn't put her in it.
Wouldn't have took much.
That girl weighed more than I did.
Yeah.
I can tell by pictures.
Yeah, but not now she don't.
I can't lift over 10 pounds.
That's about the size of the pieces.
I'm saying I cannot lift over.
Yeah.
10 pounds because of my back and my shoulder.
They're trying to figure out why break her up like that. Because he could have picked her up easy. You see what I'm saying? Everything you say makes it sound like it's you. You couldn't pick her up. Okay, that explains a lot. Because he could. He could pick her right up and pop her in there, not a problem. You couldn't. Unless you made her into small pieces. Which just happens to be what happened.
That's just gross.
I know. This is going to get crazy, and you have children.
I'm
going to go to school.
I know.
And they're going to say, your mommy chopped people up. How many did you get? You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to put this thing down now.
No, I realize that.
And this is going to be ugly and...
I know.
Public.
I know.
Very public.
I know.
You understand that this is the kind of thing that may bring, CNN here?
Yeah.
Okay. No matter how bad it is, I need to know what happened to Shannon. And hope to God that is her.
I mean,
if that ain't her...
I mean,
I don't know what to tell you.
I know that I did not do anything to her.
Okay.
I know I didn't do anything.
Tell me what you know about what happened to Shannon. Please tell me that is Shannon, because if it's not Shannon, we're going to have... I don't know what's going to happen here. Tell me that is Shannon. Tell me it's not somebody else, because I got some other missing girls right now.
I don't even know how to answer that.
I'm asking you. Please tell me that that is her and it's not somebody else.
I don't know if it's her because I didn't put it there.
I mean, I'm pretty sure she's been dead a while. You know, I mean, we'll know exactly how much, but I'm saying March. The week you moved in, she moved out the hard way.
Katrina, I started knocking on your door, and it appears to have created a reaction. It appears that when I knocked on your door on that Monday morning, and I got no answer, and I started looking around that apartment, it caused this body to be moved in that freezer. I'm trying to think of every possible reason why, even though everything's doing this to you, it's not you. I'm trying.
What I'm saying is, if I for one second even thought that there was a dead body in a freezer, I mean, considering the fact that I have my kids and everything
else,
I mean, I would have came to you guys.
Okay.
Because of the fact that that's my kids, that's, you know, my job, my career. Like,
I know, I'm just, this is how it looks.
I get that, I just don't. That's her in there. I didn't have nothing to do with it.
Oh, it's not her in there. Did you have something to do with it?
I didn't have nothing to do with it either way.
Okay. You have anything to do with the girl in the freezer?
No.
Okay.
I don't have anything to do with the fact that she's dead, that she's in a freezer, or how she got over there. Here's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
Here's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
I want to be able to go home with my kids.
Well, I understand that, but you got to understand something here. I'm not about to trade. I mean, how would you feel if somebody said, well, I just want to go home to my kids, so I'm going to tell you whatever you want to hear?
No, that's not what I'm doing.
I'm talking about bolt of lightning, knock me off my horse kind of thing is what I'm looking for.
That's what I'm looking for.
Okay? And you got to understand, you may have a problem here anyhow, depending on what it is you got to talk about.
I need basically to know what to do to be able to go home to my kids, because I had nothing to do with this.
Here's what I'm going to tell you.
What do I do?
With everything I know right now, you're going to be charged with abuse of a corpse. And you're going to go tonight. The longer this goes on, the more it looks like you're just doing what you got to do to save your own ass. And I'm exhausted. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's been 8 hours and that's it. That's all I got. You may come out of this fine. I kind of get the feeling you won't, but you may. It happens. What I think might happen here is you killed this girl.
I didn't kill her.
Okay, well, listen, it's not that I don't believe you, but I don't believe you. You see what I'm saying? Because I have to keep that as a possibility. You guys are neck and neck on the finish line here, you know what I mean? What it's going to come down to is who says what first, period. That's what it always comes down to in these kinds of situations.
No.
We're past the part. This thing, this reuniting thing, you got to know it's done, right? Like, no matter what happens after today, this is done. You and him, you're not going to end up in the same place. I don't think. So unless you got that lightning bolt, we got to go. I am exhausted.
I feel like I got into a mess that I didn't expect to get into.
Well, that's what everybody's saying. That's what.
And I don't.
That's what Andrew's saying.
I don't.
Poor Andrew's like, I think I helped him get rid of the dead girl stuff. He thought we were resting.
The whole situation scared me.
I understand.
The whole situation scared me.
Listen, I get all of that. If you told me right now this is what really happened, I would completely understand you. Because this kind of thing doesn't happen to most people every day. Just because I go through it 12 times a year doesn't mean you do. You know what I got to say? I like to stay in this room until you tell me the truth or you ask for an attorney. And I don't like to walk out that door until I have the truth or you ask me for an attorney. So what I'm going to ask you to do right now is this. Stop everything else. Two things. Tell me what happened or ask for an attorney. Because I'm not going to be able to rest knowing that I didn't stay in here as long as I possibly could with you. So which way is it going to be? You're there. I can see it. I can look at you right now and tell that you are about had it with this, because I am too.
I just...
Either tell me the truth or ask for an attorney, please, so we can end this. Because this has been way too long. Even I think you've been in this room too long.
I'm really scared that I'm going to go to jail for something I didn't do.
Okay. I will tell you that I will keep working every possible lead to do one of two things, because I have two jobs, to either catch you for what you did or free you for what you didn't do. I have two jobs. Now, in the meantime, one of two options here. Tell me you want to stop talking, you want to speak to an attorney. Or tell me what it is you've been holding back. Because if there's one thing I know from being in this room with you this long, you've got something that you're not telling me. And I don't know how bad it is. At this point, it really doesn't matter. However bad it is, things are going to instantly get better when you tell me. So, one or the other. Okay, because it's like 3 o'clock, I think.
I know.
It's 3 o'clock.
When I moved in there, he seemed fine with everything. He seemed calm. He seemed like nothing was wrong.
You telling me that something happened in the car on the way home from Akron?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm asking you what you're telling me, because you just pitched out a totally new scenario that you haven't said up until now.
I don't know if that's what happened. And
did he get in the fact we were in the car on the way home and dump her body, then have to go get it? Is that what you're saying here?
I mean, that's, it could be what Listen, happened.
Is that what happened? Because that is such an abstract thing to pull out. But the good thing about it is this. Nobody put that in your head in this room. So if you're saying that,
that is
such an oddball thing to pull out of your butt to say that. It's believable.
I feel like it's a possibility.
Okay. Well, why would that be a possibility?
I mean, just because they used to both get drunk all the time. Coming home.
Okay.
The bar.
Did he tell you something happened on the way out from the bar? And then he dumped the body somewhere?
He didn't say that he dumped it, but he said that they got into an argument.
On the way home from the bar?
Yeah.
And what happened?
And he just said that they got into an argument. And I asked him, you know, what happened. And he said nothing, you know, just everything's fine. And then, like, shortly after that, when we moved in, and she was nowhere to be found, and I hadn't seen her since. I mean, I might have to get an attorney. I don't know, because okay. I don't have enough information for you. I don't have exactly what you're looking for, I don't think. I don't really know.
I think you do.
It's just he.
I think you have the ability.
He never flat out admitted anything.
I think when you start talking about riots from Akron and fights in cars and body dumps, I think you have the right information. I don't know why we would go that far down that road and stop, but like I said, it's really late.
So, I don't know.
So honestly,
I can't say that he killed her. He didn't admit to me that he killed her.
Okay, so do me a favor here. You want to talk to the lawyer?
I mean, do I need to?
I'd like to end this. So if you say lawyer, I can end this. Because I'm like, exhausted here.
I mean, I guess. Yeah?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know what else to do.
Well, both of them, of course, denied knowing anything about anything. They hold their ground completely. So the most that they could both be charged with at the time was abuse of a corpse for basically chopping her up and dumping her in an effort to conceal her body from the authorities. Well, once they were arrested and some details about what they were accused of were put on the news, a Walmart employee came forward to the police that she specifically remembered both of them, Katrina and Arturo, coming in to pick up this order. And she remembered them because they had ordered it under the email address of Chicken Man.
You saw our people on TV.
Yep.
Okay. You saw Katrina Layton and Anthony Gonzalez.
Yes, sir.
He made some kind of internet order.
Yes.
With a ship to Walmart to save on the shipping.
Yes, sir.
And it came in batches, not all at once.
Not at once.
But by the 11th of March.
Yes, sir.
All of the items that he ordered.
We were in.
And
yes.
What were those items?
They were bottles of sulfuric acid. I don't know if it was like drained sulfuric acid. My paperwork just said, you know.
Sulfuric acid.
Yes.
All right. Bottles of it.
Yes.
Anything else?
No. You either have to give me an order number or a photo ID.
Okay. To verify are. That you didn't give somebody stuff
to the wrong
somebody
person.
Else.
Correct.
And then your real customer comes in and you're like, hey, where's my stuff?
Correct.
Okay, that makes sense. So on the 11th, you're working.
Yes, sir.
And both of these people that were on TV, Katrina and Anthony, come to the place.
Yes, sir.
And tell you that they had been there the night before.
Yes, sir.
That they couldn't get what they ordered, and now they wanted it.
Yes.
Okay. So now you're looking into the order.
Yes.
And what happens?
So then I go, obviously your name is not Chicken Man. I cannot give you this order.
Okay.
He goes, my phone must have auto-filled it in.
Got it.
Okay. Possible it happened, you know. I go, but I still can't give it to you because that's not your name. I go in there, his email was chickenman at like Gmail or something, you know. So I said, okay, let me go discuss this with my manager and see what they say about what we can do.
Okay.
So I go to AP because this is like, I have already contacted them about the crazy boxes under chickenman coming in. So they knew. They wanted me to come in there when they came in, so I did. So I go in there, and she looks at him on camera. She's like, okay, do they see? I'm like, they seem a little funny, but said their drain's clogged. And that Chicken Man was her email. She said, okay, so can they, like, add an alternate pickup person? Because that's something you can do, too. So if you can't make it in to pick it up, you can go back into your Walmart account, and you can add somebody to pick it up for you. Okay. We'll add their name to their account.
Right.
I said, I don't know, I could see, you know, it. Sometimes that does take 24 hours to update.
AP wants a proper identification of
Correct.
Somebody on this.
Right.
Okay.
So I said, okay, that's fine. So I went out there, I said, if you guys can add one of you guys' name to the account to properly pick it up, then I can properly release it to you. Mm-hmm. Katrina's like, okay, and she added her name to it.
From her phone?
From her phone, right in front of me.
Okay.
I said, okay, well, it could take 24 to 48 hours to update. Sometimes it does.
Yeah.
But she got lucky. It went right through.
Okay.
So I said, okay. She gave her ID. I looked at her ID. It matched. I said, all right.
She put her name in,
mm-hmm.
authorizing her
to pick
it up.
Mm-hmm.
She did.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And then she gave you her ID to prove she was who she said she was. Mm-hmm. And now you have a proper ID.
Yes, sir.
Okay. At any point, do we ever identify Chicken Man?
No. Chicken Man never gives an ID. He just stands there.
Anything else you think is pertinent about this? Or?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like eating me.
Yeah.
To know two people can stand in front of you and possibly have done something so...
Well, here's what you need to know, okay?
Gruesome?
At this point...
It's scary.
At this point, I believe this girl's already dead, so it's not... They didn't use this to kill her.
Right.
That's not what they did.
But to know that...
Yeah.
They were still staying in front of you after they did it. It's
absolutely
frightening because
creepy.
We were this close.
Yeah, I know.
And they looked at me like, how can you go about a normal day?
So they weren't able to pick up this order of sulfuric acid that they had purchased in bulk for supposedly a very clogged sink until Katrina had been willing to put the order in her name or add her name to the order so that and use her ID for it so that they could pick it up. So after this little bit of information was revealed to the two of them, then Katrina decided it was probably in her best interest to sort of turn the tides and testify against Arturo. And also another guy that she knew named Andrew Herman, the guy that had come in saying that he had inadvertently helped Arturo burn Shannon's things. Well, Andrew was like, hell no, I'm not going down for this crap. So he lawyered up and instead he struck a deal that in exchange for him telling what he knew about what had happened, he would only get 12 years in prison for abusing a corpse and engaging in a pattern of corrupt activity and some unrelated drug trafficking charges. So his story was that on February 24th, 2017, so sometime in the night, Shannon and Arturo had argued and he had beat her to death with a hammer, unintentionally, of course. And then in a panic, he had called Katrina, and when she arrived, she wasn't surprised to find her dead or even really unhappy about the situation. She was more surprised that for some reason Arturo had shaved her head while he was waiting for her to show up, thinking that this would somehow help conceal her identity. I guess he forgot that she had some tattoos and that her body contains this thing called DNA. So together they wrapped her up in some garbage bags, put her in the trunk of Arturo's car, and then drove her over to Katrina's place because she had a garage. And then they called Andrew Herman, who also had no issue with just swinging by Katrina's place to dismember Shannon's body in said garage, and then plunking her parts into bags and bins. And then sometime around March 1st to the 17th, they drove Shannon's body parts back to her old apartment and put them in this new freezer that they had bought. And then on March 1st, Arturo called up one of his friends that lived on Sherwood Avenue and asked if they could host this bonfire there. And the friends said, sure. Only they found it a little bit odd that he kept sort of fueling and dousing this fire with items like papers and things from a duffel bag that he had brought over. That was weird to them. So the next day they went out to the fire pit and saw that in the ashes was this bracelet that had been engraved with the word Shannon on it. And it was around the same time that the couple made an order under the name of Chicken Man for 12 gallons of sulfuric acid in the form of this drain unclogging stuff, which is actually not pure sulfuric acid. It's kind of a watered down version. And when they finally go to pick up the order, they went back to Shannon's apartment, tried to use it in this plastic bucket that contained Shannon's head and her torso, but it only partially worked because it wasn't pure sulfuric acid. So they threw the bits of skull and her arms and legs back into the freezer, just stuff that you would normally do. They continued to feed and take care of her dog, used her cell phone, her credit cards, and of course her food stamps card, and then made up the story about her taking off to Cleveland with some new guy if anybody ever asked where she was. Only when John started sniffing around for her and Andrew went to the cops about burning this stuff, he had gotten nervous. He asked Ken and Jill to store this freezer. He said that the power had gone off in his place and that he didn't want all of his expensive meat that he had bought to freeze or to spoil. And so they bought that story. And at 3 a.m., he arrives with his freezer with a padlock on it. And they just think they're doing like a regular favor for a friend. And now Andrew's common-law wife was also implicated a little bit in this. Her name's Michelle Illenfield. Illenfield, I think that's how you say it. She was charged with lying to the grand jury and trying to intimidate a witness. And for that, she got 2.5 years in prison and then 6 months in a halfway house when she was released, and then 5 years of probation. I don't actually have any details on what lies she told or who it was that she tried to intimidate. I'm thinking it might have been Andrew, maybe. And now Katrina made herself a plea deal to only be charged with tampering with evidence, obstruction of justice, and abuse of a corpse in exchange for pleading guilty that she would not have any jail time and she would just get probation. But she decided during that time to keep talking to Arturo on jail calls while he was in prison awaiting his own trial. So her deal was actually revoked and instead she got 18 years in prison. And Arturo Novoa was charged with one count of aggravated murder, one count of murder, 24 counts of tampering with evidence, obstruction of justice, and 6 counts of abuse of a corpse, 3 counts of possession of criminal tools, 3 counts of theft of WIC benefits, that would be the food stamps, 1 count of grand theft auto, that would be for using her car after she was dead, 4 counts of drug trafficking. Now, he also took a plea deal that he would plead guilty to everything if they dropped the aggravated murder charge. So he got 48 years to life in prison, which of course he appealed on the grounds that he didn't know that the judge could basically stack all the charges and make him serve them consecutively, that it wasn't fair that some of those charges had not been sort of merged together. And the appeal court upheld his guilty plea, but then adjusted the sentence a little bit. So his sentence was essentially vacated and then replaced with a new sentence in February of 2022 of 43 years to life instead.
There were lots of hugs around the gazebo at Austintown Township Park as the family of Shannon Graves held an evening to remember her. It was organized by her sister, Debbie DePaul.
Shannon was her own little spirit. She was her free spirit.
One of Shannon's good friends was John Scarrata.
She was awesome. She was a great person, always full energy, on top of everything that she did, like really focused.
She has a lot of friends, you could tell by the people that are coming here.
Shannon Graves' father, Ronnie DePaul, also showed up and said he's handling it because he has to.
But what I don't understand is what she ever could have done to have these two people do what he did to her. I already got to bury part of a body.
I knew it before I heard it. Just everything around her being missing wasn't right. So we kind of didn't know the specifics or the gruesomeness of it, but figured pretty much something like that had happened.
One way Shannon was remembered was with pictures scattered on the railing throughout the gazebo. There were also candles and boxes of tissues. T-shirts were being sold, saluting Youngstown girls on the front and Justice for Shannon on the back. Even Shannon's dog Molly, now in the care of Debbie, was there.
It's not the easiest. I have my moments, but there's a lot going on, so I'm just trying to stay strong and keep going.
As people arrived, there was some talking, but for the most part, they were quiet, solemn, remembering Shannon Graves.
And so that was the ridiculous murder of Shannon Graves. I will never wrap my brain around dismemberment, especially taking someone's head off. I mean, I get the logical part of it, that it's easier to conceal like a bunch of parts than a whole body, that it just fits better into like garbage bags or whatever better. So I get the logic of it. But the actual doing of it, like I had a Barbie when I was 7, and I don't know, for some reason her head and one of her arms kept popping off. I hated that thing because I found it traumatizing, like every time her arm would pop off. So I can't imagine having your loved one, like having that being done to one, to your loved one. And again, I get the logic that they're already gone at the time that it's happening, but it's just the disrespect. I remember when my sister was finally ready to intern Taylor's ashes. I think it was 2 summers ago now. And, so she was being interned in, like, in an actual gravesite. She had been, she had been cremated, and she was in a lovely, it didn't really look like an urn. It was, I don't know, it kind of looked like a jewelry box. It was pink. It was really pretty. But we were having her interned into an actual cemetery plot. And in order to, so we had this, it wasn't really a ceremony, but we had like a memorial. All the family came out to just basically pay our respects. And in order to intern the ashes, the poor lady, she had to, like, it's not like a coffin where they have, I guess they have those straps or whatever, where they can like mechanically lower a coffin into the ground. She had to actually physically put this urn, I guess you call it, into the ground. And it's fairly deep down that they actually put them, because then they put, you know, soil on top of it, and then there'll be a plaque on top of that. And so she had to actually lay down on her stomach on the grass to like lower this thing into the ground. And I remember at the time thinking that, oh, if Taylor was here, she would think it was hilarious. But it was really, it was just like you just wanted to look away. Like it was just, it just felt so wrong. Like there is just, there's an unwritten rule about the treatment of someone after they're gone. And I know that it's not logical. But I think that there's a very good reason why indignity to a human, to human remains, or basically just dumping a body, is considered its own separate crime. Because I think it just, it's a crime against humanity. Like it just goes so far against human nature, and to dismember a person and hack them into pieces and then just put them into garbage bags is just, it's just so wrong. And I just don't understand it. And for what reason? You got mad and it really, like, beat her with a hammer. Like that is a horrible way to die. This is just a horrible, horrible story. And for Katrina to just think like, oh, sure, no problem, I'll just help you. I can't imagine helping somebody cover up a murder. Can't imagine. Hopefully it's not in my nature, and hopefully nobody ever asked me to do that, because I'm not doing it. So if I got any friends out there that think that I am their ride or die, that I'm going to cover up the bodies, I'm not doing that. Anyways, I'm going to be back again next week with another case. In the meantime, you can put your comments below. If you're watching on YouTube, you can subscribe to the channel. If you're listening on the podcast, then you can subscribe to the exclusive content. You can give a rate, a review. I think you can give comments on Spotify. I know you can on Podbean as well. I'm on Instagram. And of course, you can email me anytime at amillionotherchoices@outlook.com. And thank you so much for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.